بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us where he said إنما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said verily the life of this world is deception. I remind myself anew, this is the reality which we need to learn, and we need to learn this. The sooner we learn this, the happier we will be. It is this deception of this world, the mata'ul ghurur, which creates stress in our lives, which makes us unhappy, which makes us sad, which makes us depressed, which makes us angry, which makes us disappointed, which creates fear in our hearts and minds, fear of losing things which we will lose anyway. It makes absolutely no sense for someone to fear losing something that doesn't belong to them and of losing something that they will lose anyway. If a New Yorker said, oh, I am afraid that one day I will lose the Statue of Liberty, you would say this is nonsense because you don't own the Statue of Liberty. How can you lose it? How can you lose something that you don't own? So then how does it makes sense for us to say that one day I will lose this home in which I am living? Because you don't own this either. Ibrahim Adem Rahmatullah Ali was sitting on his throne in his palace in Balkh when a faqir came in and he got past the guards and he spread his bedding in front of the throne. So Ibrahim Adem was very taken aback and he got angry and he said to the faqir, he says, what are you doing? I mean, who are you? Why are you here? So the man said, well, I'm a traveler and I want to rest in this sarai. I want to rest in this warehouse. You know, it's a sarai was not a hotel. So I'm not saying hotel. I'm not using the term hotel. Sarai was a warehouse that travelers would rest in the night and then they would go on the next morning. So Ibrahim Adem said, this is not a sarai. Are you a fool? Can't you see this? This is not a sarai. This is my palace. So the faqir said, who lived in this before you? Ibrahim Adem said, my father. The faqir asked him, and before your father? Ibrahim Adem Rahmatullahi said, my grandfather. He said, who would live in this palace after you are dead and gone? Ibrahim Adem said, my son. So he said, a place in which people live and leave, people come and go, what is it called? Is it not called a sarai? Is it not a warehouse? Now, my brothers and sisters, it's, again, well, let me tell you, I love these stories of the Salaf al-Salihin. This was followed in Ibrahim Adem's case by another incident like this, where there was a commotion on the top of his palace, on the roof, and then they guards brought a man to him and they said to Ibrahim Adem, they said, your majesty, this man was on top of the roof. So Ibrahim Adem said, what were you doing on the roof of my palace? And the man said, I was searching for my camel. So Ibrahim Adem said, are you a fool? I mean, do you think you can find your camel on my roof? Ibrahim Adem, the faqir said to him, do you think you can find God where you are sitting? Do you think you can find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that throne of yours? Sitting in all that brocade and silk and gold and whatnot. Now, it is said that these two incidents were what led to Ibrahim Adem rahmatullahi alayhi leaving his sultanate and leaving his rule in Balkh and going to study Islam. Be that as it may, the point I want to say is that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran. The description and the definition of failure and success. Take the question, let me give you one clear example. Take the case of Fir'aun. Here was a man who was the king of the most powerful kingdom of the time. I've been to the pyramids and I remember standing there looking at the great pyramids of Cheops and thinking to myself that what kind of wealth must have been that created this pyramid. I mean, imagine the kind of wealth that made a monument which is so massive, it's like a mountain. What kind of palace did Ramesses have? Did Pharaoh have? The Cheops is not Ramesses' tomb, but the point I'm making is Tutankhamen or Ramesses or whoever. What kind of wealth did those kings have? The Egypt was one of the, or rather the wealthiest kingdom of its time at that time, and of course the also one of the most powerful. Here was the man who had all the trappings of success. I mean, if you think about the Pharaoh of Egypt, here was a man who had wealth which was literally uncounted. He had complete and supreme power, total absolute authority, which in today's world doesn't even exist. I mean, today's oppressors and today's dictators, even where they want to do evil things, they have to worry about public opinion, and they have to try to deceive things, and they have to try to they have tried to change things around and get people's opinion, and try to subvert courts and all kinds of stuff. Ramesses didn't worry about that. He didn't have to worry about that. When he decided that he wanted the newborn babies, male babies, the sons of the people of Israel, to be killed, he merely ordered that. He just said, do it, and it was done. And literally, hundreds and thousands of innocent babies were slaughtered, just like that. The kind of absolute power that these medieval and earlier, I mean, Egypt at the time of Pharaoh was not medieval, it was much earlier than that, that these kings had is unbelievable. I mean, today's world, we don't see that. And alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So the point is that here was a man who was the epitome of the standard definition of success. Somebody who had supreme power and authority, somebody who had wealth which is uncounted, and of course all the accoutrements of wealth, all the paraphernalia of wealth, the palaces and the gold and the silver and the slaves and the servants and God knows what. You can imagine whatever you can imagine, and most of what you can't imagine this man had. But was he a success? The issue is that, was he a success? And the answer is very clear. I mean, he was not a success. He was the one of the greatest failures of all time, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned him as a failure in the Quran. At the same time, you look at Musa alayhi salam, his opponent. Musa alayhi salam was literally a homeless man. If you look at it, he was a homeless man, because once he got out of the palace in Egypt, and he became a fugitive, Musa alayhi salam had literally no home. He went and then he stayed with his father-in-law in Madian, and then he came back, and when he came back, he was practically homeless because he had nothing. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he had one cloak which he used to wear in the day, and he would spread it out and sleep on it in the night. And Musa alayhi salam was a warrior. He was a tough man, and he had no home. I mean, what was his address? Yet Musa alayhi salam is among the ulul azm min al anbiya. He is among the ulul azm min al rusul, one of the greatest of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Now the Quran is teaching us this and saying, reflect on this, right? Now we have got used to telling stories and listening to stories, so I'm not going to take this further. I'm going to remind myself and you, let us think about this and say, what are the elements of success today that I am looking for? And if I ask you to write down your vision and say, what's your vision of success, what would that comprise of, right? Don't take that in the sense of that you know what there is, you know what there is to say, and then give me an educated response. I'm not trying to catch you out to do something. Just seriously think about it and say, what is it that I define as success? If I am asked to define success and my vision of success, how would I define it? What would I write?
What do I want from life? And then see whether this fits. Whose picture does it fit more? The picture of Firaun or the picture of Musa alayhi salam? Because Allah gave us this criterion to measure ourselves. If you want to be successful, we have to be more like Musa alayhi salam. And if we want to be failures, we have to be more like Firaun. Remember again that Firaun is not only about wealth and power. Firaun is also about, and even more importantly, about Firauniyat, about the whole idea and ideology of being an absolute monarch, unaccountable to anybody, not accountable to anybody, an absolute monarch with total power and authority, free to do whatever I like. Good and bad is to be judged not in terms of its intrinsic virtue or vice, but in terms of whether I like it or not. So whatever I like is good and whatever I don't like is bad. Now this is the meaning of Firauniyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this life as trustees, as he sent us as people to as stewards, as vicegerents, as governors, to implement his will. Allah did not send us into this world to implement our will. Allah sent us into this world to implement his will. And that is where we need to focus and say, what is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a particular case? So to give us a criterion of judging whether I am Fir'aun or I am, if I am closer to Musa alayhi salam's example, I would say, look at your own life and say, which decisions do you take only and only to please Allah? And which decisions do you take to please yourself, knowing that what you are doing does not please Allah? It's very simple to understand this. Which decisions do you take only to please Allah, even if you don't like doing that? And which decisions do you take to please yourself, even though you know that that action does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it is the former, alhamdulillah, all power to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen you and take you to a point where you don't even need to fight the urge, because the inner urge is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. That's the ideal position to get to, where my desire is what Allah wants. But until then, if my desire is different from what Allah wants, then I need to fight that desire and I need to do what Allah wants me to do. But if we are on the latter side, which is that we do things even though we know Allah does not like them, then that's something to take warning from and something to remind ourselves and to tell ourselves that one day we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you want to stand in the line behind Firaun, or do you want to stand in the line behind Musa alayhi salam and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, let us take heed from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear before a time comes when those things will become clear, because at that time it will be too late to take heed. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.